Today, we are having a continuation of our call-in show on container gardening. Aletha Johnson joins us this morning to continue that conversation, and thanks so much for being back here.
Thank you for inviting me.
And we had, I guess, after the show was over last time, we kind of continued our conversation, and I had mentioned to you that I had a lot of shallow containers. Mm-hmm. And so sort of a question along those lines now, if you have shallow containers, what might grow well in there, or what might be some of the challenges of that if you don't have deeper containers?
Well, it came up at the end of our conversation. We had discussed your gardening on your deck a little bit. And one thing that hadn't come up at first in that conversation was the depth of the soil, that your containers were actually shallow. So I thought that might be one of the factors in the size of the plants that you're getting. And the recommended depth for soil or for vegetable gardening is 12 inches or so, 12 to 14 kind of as a minimum. But I have also planted in shallow containers. Radishes were really successful for me in those long, narrow, self-watering containers. I put some of those out on my deck. When I first started container gardening, I was just trying all different kinds, and those were pretty successful. Now, I have a good friend who loves to grow things, and she uses that shallow self-watering container for microgreens. So that's another form of gardening, that a container gardening that I've explored, and also with my coworkers, kind of an ongoing conversation. And we actually prefer two different methods of growing microgreens. She prefers the soil method, using the shallow containers. And for anybody who doesn't know what microgreens are, they're really just any edible green, like mustard greens or radishes when they're small. You can eat the greens off of those. Broccoli.
Sprouts are the,
all
lettuces,
kinds of
probably.
Right. Anything that you would eat in the larger form, and beet greens are delicious. So if you don't really have the space or the time to cultivate a larger garden, that's one way to give yourself that satisfaction of growing your own food. In fact, because as I said last time, I live in a small space and I have limited space outside my door where I grow, but I also have limited space in the house. And so I don't like to take up a lot of space, countertop space with plants and things. So I started growing some microgreens. The other thing that got me into growing microgreens and using different kinds of containers is I checked out this book from the library called The Speedy Garden. It's called Speedy Vegetable Gardening, actually, by Mark Diacono. And I liked that because sometimes I don't have a lot of patience, or else I just get really busy. And so my available time and energy to cultivate things is kind of hit and miss. So taking that approach was really liberating for me, because then I could start, it sort of broadened my idea of what gardening is. So he has a section on sprouting and thinking of that as growing your own food, and then moves on to growing microgreens and edible flowers, and then he moves into vegetables that get a quick yield. Actually, I didn't even get into that section, but I was very interested in the speedy garden approach to getting those greens. That was something I could manage, and also because I really like to have house plants, but I have such limited space. So for me, it was a perfect solution. I just started growing edible greens in containers. And so then I always have these very fresh looking plants in the house that don't require full sun, and they kind of do their thing in a matter of a couple of weeks. And then I'm just switching them out. Kind of planting a new container and putting that out there, and the old container that's done, it's grown to its full size that I want, then I just pull that off and I harvest those and eat from that. So I can kind of keep a continuous supply of really fresh looking house plants going and be eating them at the same time.
And are the microgreens more nutrient rich or anything like that? Is there a difference between them?
Yes, I have read that. It's not anything I've really explored, but it's something that I will trust the people that, you know, have been writing about that, about how sprouts and microgreens are really packed with nutrients, and they can be very flavorful. You can get nice spicy flavor from some of those greens, and also from the sprouts you get the textures and things like that. And so with the sprouts, I was a little bit nervous about, because I had heard that you can get sick if you don't care for them
like
properly.
Salmonella.
Yeah,
kinds of issues.
So that's something that I was a little bit cautious about to start with. And I got myself a tower, again, because thinking of space availability, I found a, I've even got the brand.
She has visuals here.
Yeah, I have props. Victorio is the brand that I got from somewhere online, and it's got a reservoir in the bottom and four containers that stack on top that have ridges in the bottom of each container and drain holes. So you can start them at different times, but you can water from the top and it washes down through into the reservoir at the bottom, which you can just take off and tip into the sink. And so, you know, a couple times a day, you can be washing those sprouts, and then you just need to take care not to let them sit there and get moldy, and you just need to, when they're ready to eat, to go ahead and keep them dry, cold, dry, refrigerator or something, and eat them within a short period of time. So anyway, just all those cautions about safety. But once you've familiarized yourself with the safe way of growing sprouts, and you can do it in jars with cheesecloth, you know, just use a mason jar or something with a cheesecloth and a lid or something like that. It's really fun. It's very rewarding. So there that's your sort of, okay, if I have the very minimum amount of time and energy and space to put into this thing, you can start there. And then when I got a book called Microgreens, How to Grow Nature's Own Superfood. And this is a book that talks about the nutritional value. I also got that one from the library. And she talks about both methods of growing microgreens. One is the using soil, kind of with a low organic mix of soil, more like for growing seedlings, and just growing them in containers. And they're not going to get any... they're not going to need a great soil depth. So the kinds of containers that you're talking about are perfect for that. And then the other method is you use a pumice, which is, I've got some of it here, is like a volcanic rock, and put that in a very shallow container. Here I've got a plastic container from cookies from the grocery store, just kind of thin and round and fits perfectly on a plate, like a dinner plate. And you don't need any real depth to that either. I mean, just enough to, maybe that's an inch of this aggregate that's sitting there in this dish. And I just punch some holes in the bottom of the container. And all you need is just scattered some seeds. I mean, I just threw a handful of seeds on there and started and watered it, I think. Maybe I gave it a little bit of a thorough watering, but I try to be careful not to push them around too much, to be too rough on the seeds and the seedlings and all. So I usually use a spray pump bottle, like the kind used for ironing or your hair or something. And just every morning or every so often I go by, I just squirt
them and get them moist. And so yeah, pumice, though, you don't need any, you don't really need soil. You just need some media to live in, so
exactly,
to speak.
Like the pumice. But what you do is you use this, a hydroponic solution for just general vegetable growing.
Is that like a food?
Yep, it's a plant food. So for this is not necessarily for organic gardeners. This is a hydroponics formula. And I'm just, as I said last time, I'm just taking an experimental approach. I can become more specialized with organics and organic methods of growing and things like that as I go along. But right now, I'm just trying to get the hang of being a gardener and wanting to be successful. And so, anyway, this works really well for me. And just put a little bit of this solution on there once or twice a week, and they thrive.
And do you, in this particular tray, does it have multi types of plants, or do you usually keep a single type of plant when you grow things?
Well, I prefer to just have multi small containers and plant different ones, and then they mature it. When you say mature, it's really like, well, they have two leaves on each stalk. You know, that's whatever is your desired size that you want to grow them to. But I usually prefer to have different containers. I have some favorite clay pots that are small, and I like that combination on the countertop and so forth. But you can definitely have more than one type growing. If you've got a long, you can just treat it like a garden and just grow a variety along
sections in there.
Yeah,
mini sections.
Yeah, exactly.
And then in eating it, do you usually just do these make up your salad, or you add them as a supplement to sandwiches and salads, or how do you use them?
Either, yeah. My friend and coworker Shelley grows, she grows lots of microgreens and can probably eat whole salads out of her containers, but I tend to grow this tinier part that's more of a seasoning that I would add to another salad made out of larger greens. And
it sounds as though this gardening or harvesting, growing microgreens is a great way to start out if you're a reluctant gardener or new to it, because it's a short, like you said, a short growing period, and sounds like probably you have a lot of success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of these, like the radishes, I think I can get these radishes, I can be eating them in within a week, I guess. The fenugreek, that's what I have growing over there right now, is a couple weeks. It's a slower growing. So between that and the sprouts, you can just, with sprouts, in 2 or 3 days, you can be eating those, and then you have your others growing. And so if your goal is to just start enjoying eating food that you're growing yourself, then that's a great way to get going, especially in the spring as you're waiting for other things to get larger in the garden.
And I see you have large bags of seeds as opposed to, like, say, the little ones you buy at the grocery store or somewhere. Is that kind of a good way to go? Where would you get your seeds?
Well, it was for me. Some people just grow from the seed packets that they get at the store, just kind of stock up on them. But some other people swear by special seeds for using for sprouting and microgreens. And I just bought an assortment from a place called an online source called the Sprout House. So these, I got this mixed bag for either for beginner gardeners or people who just want to try something new. And it's everything from broccoli seeds, alfalfa seeds, which are tiny. Some seeds don't really work well for the microgreens so much, at least not the kind with the hydroponics. You've got to have a little bigger seed for that, or they're just going to drop down into the bottom. But
I don't know. Somehow alfalfa just doesn't sound tasty.
I know.
Certain
right?
things. Who knows?
Yeah. And
maybe when it's young.
But there's something for everybody. Yeah. I mean, you can grow lentils. So what I do is I just buy the seeds for a mixed variety of seeds that can be used for either sprouting or microgreens. But some lend themselves more to sprouting and some a little more to, for me anyway, for the microgreens.
Okay. And also a reminder, this is a call-in show. If you have questions about container gardening or microgreen success here, give us a call, 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. It's interesting to see. Now, again, we're on the radio, so people cannot visualize. But you have a nice little sprouting garden there ready to go, and I'm assuming ready to harvest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And the other thing is, if you have low light, like I do, I don't want to leave my curtains open all day, for one thing, and on sunny days it makes it too hot in the house and everything. So, but with this type of thing, you can get away with leaving on a kitchen counter in filtered light with some
which
kind of sheer
great, yeah.
curtains or something like that, and they're getting enough to, you know, sprouts the same thing, that you don't want them in bright sunlight anyway. So that's And for some winter gardening, you can just keep right on growing those kinds of things through the winter. And
so it sounds like a great year-round option.
It is, yeah. So to have a little fresh fruit all the time. And I was going to, if you don't have any more questions really about the sprouting or the microgreens, like growing in the house, I was going to talk a little bit about container gardening in general, especially outdoors. As I mentioned last time, what got me really going with container gardening is having limited space to outside to grow, and also needing my garden to be movable in case, for any reason, if I needed to move to a different residence or else. Occasionally, the landlord wants to do some kind of projects, you know, replace a window or paint or something. And so it's just got to be movable. But the other thing, that reason I want to keep exploring container gardening, is that in Ketchikan, if you just walk around town, you can see so many small spaces, just little pockets of space everywhere that could be utilized for vegetable gardening, if, you know, as long as the landowners, whether it's the, you know, the public, maybe it's the city or private landowners or whomever, but there's lots of space around town that could be utilized for gardening in containers. And the beauty of, I mean, somebody sent me a while back a community garden link to a community garden that was all done in milk crates. So they had two layers of milk crates. I'm assuming that maybe partly for drainage, but also just for ease of getting to your garden. But you can just put together shape and reshape your configuration of milk crates filled with soil, and creating this little mini container garden. And a milk crate is great because you can get that soil depth that you want, and they're just stacked. And if it, so they'd use vacant parking lots and set up these, and then just when it for some reason they need to vacate the lot for some other use,
you just pick it up and go,
pick it up and move it.
Now with a milk crate, the ones I've seen, they have lots of holes in them, so
yeah.
Is it something you line with something, or,
yeah,
or are there different kinds of milk crates?
Yes, they line it with that fabric, like a gardening landscaping, there's a black fabric
that's
kind of porous, and so it doesn't take up any space, but it does allow. And it's not anything I've experimented with. Again, it could have a watering challenge, because it would be open and porous like that, so probably require more frequent tending. But that's just an example of the kinds of creative approaches that people take. I mean, you see people use gutters, just mount gutters to a fence or the side of the house and
garden
start
there.
Planting in there. And
the thought also, I know we've had discussions in the past about square foot gardening, and it sounds like a milk crate is an easy way to do that. You don't even have to measure or do anything. You just have a square foot right there.
Yep, put four milk crates together and you got your 4x4 garden patch. Yeah, so it's a great way to go. And I just think in Ketchikan, it's really useful to think that way. More
how can I plant in my little spot?
Flexibility, portability. Yeah. I watched a really inspiring TED Talk. It's been a long time since I watched it now, and I can't remember if the town is in England or Scotland. I believe it's in England, and it's called Todmorden. And this woman, they have a town about the same population as Ketchikan, and in their post-industrial state, they were pretty sad. Their economy was had really dipped, and they were kind of experiencing a low point. And so as part of they've had some economic renewal in their town. And one of the things that really, she talks about spinning plates and, you know, to have a healthy economy, having some of these different plates spinning or these different kinds of dynamics going on in your town. And one of the things that a group of people did that helped to lead to the success of their renewal in that town was they started gardening in some unused patches, and they must have a better soil, don't have some of the same challenges we do, but the idea was they started just taking what they had and cultivating it, and the gardeners would see opportunities to plant, and they just put them there. And they didn't try to claim the space, to own it or anything, to own the produce. They would just plant it and cultivate it, and it was free there for anybody to enjoy or to take. And so one thing led to another, and they started having this network of gardeners, and then they started networking around all kinds of local food, kind of similar to what we're doing with the Tongass Community Foods Alliance, where we're trying to foster locally sourced food supply. And so they started making all these connections with local food growers and sharing food and having an annual festival and all this. So now they call it the Incredible Edible Todmorden, and it's actually a tourist destination. People walk through the town, and there's vegetables growing everywhere. They use it in landscaping. When they do a public building, instead of planting ornamentals, they just, apparently they built a new hospital, and so this group went to the hospital board and asked them if they would let them plant vegetables there instead of ornamentals. And they said, sure, here's the scheme. You got to have three plants this height and these, and you know, so much ground cover here and whatever. So they just followed the pattern that they already had for the ornamentals and planted vegetables instead.
It sounds as though they had a huge commitment from gardeners willing to tend to all this,
yeah,
though. So,
yeah.
I mean, you do have to have that
it
commitment.
Is absolutely. I don't, to me, that's it's just an interesting phenomena. I can't really imagine, but.
And what a great idea, though, to have something that is edible.
Yes.
On every street corner, so
yeah,
to speak.
Yeah, and I thought, well, they must have different soil condition. Maybe they have just better soil to work with in general, because in Ketchikan, soil is so dear that I can't imagine people doing very much of that, just, you know, building up all this great soil to have beautiful vegetables and just sort of saying, here, community, help yourself. But it's inspiring, I mm-hmm. guess that's my point. You know, you can try to, people can sort of take that idea and maybe just work with their neighbors and work a little bit.
There might be a little community plot of land in your neighborhood or something.
Yeah, or along streets. There are just pockets of land that are privately owned that are right, because you know how it is here in Ketchikan, and your lot line might be right out in the middle of the sidewalk, or your property boundary might be on a sidewalk or right on the edge of the street or something, and then there's maybe some unused space that belongs to you. It's your land, but it's not really anything, you don't consider it a yard per se. So when you, in those kind of situations, they, container gardening would be a perfect solution. Those kind of situations lend themselves to planting along the street to just inspire people to grow vegetables here.
Okay. And just have a few minutes left in the show. Again, if there's anyone out there with questions, please get those in now. Or maybe you are having success with container gardening or in the growth of microgreens and want to share something. Again, we just have a few minutes left. So the phone numbers again, 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. And Aletha, it sounds as though you've had a lot of success just going to the library and checking out books and learning about stuff.
Oh, they have a wonderful section on gardening. There is something for everybody there.
Whether you have a big space or a small space.
Yes, yeah. Lots on the square foot gardening movement, which is something, I mean, the next step up is to do raised beds in a 4x4, to do a more permanent raised bed and just start taking advantage of vertical gardening too, to put in fishnet or trellises or whatever you can to get your vegetables to climb up. And I think of containers really just about anything except for growing straight into the ground in the sort of traditional large garden plot with rows. Raised beds to me are a form of container gardening. It's just a little bit more permanent.
You also mentioned the challenge of soil here, which I think every gardener speaks about, of just keeping and maintaining soil. Any tips on, let's say you purchase soil, however you go about getting your soil, it's in decent condition, but you do need to maintain it. What do you generally do, say at the end of the season, with your container soil? Do you supplement it come spring? What do you do with it to keep it healthy?
Well, what I understand, and I'm just pretty new at this, so but what I understand is adding organic material, compost
is the,
to it just improves the soil structure. And I have started, I got myself a little worm condo, you know, situation that actually fits in my kitchen under the kitchen table. And I was a little nervous about that, thought it might smell, but it doesn't. So that's really, so far, so good.
And it's just they're keeping worms growing and healthy and producing.
It's new. So my intention is to dress my soil. About the time that I have some good batches of worm compost, I'm going to be adding, you know, I'm going to be cleaning up my garden and adding compost to my containers. Or I might try what a caller near the end suggested, that I just, what she does is puts all of her soil into like a garbage can and then just lets it kind of sit there, and it continues to sort of break down and compost, as it were. But you need, I think that adding the organic material is a way to keep amending it. And then you have to also look at, is it soil that's compacting? And do you need to add some vermiculite or some other kind of material to lighten the soil, keep it a little bit fluffy? So, but if, as far as building soil, the direction that I want to go is lasagna gardening, which is something that I hadn't even heard of until I went and visited my daughter at a farm she moved to recently, and they're practicing permaculture. And the woman that owns the property has been feeding her family from, it's a fairly good-sized garden, but not huge, for years. So she's already a seasoned and successful gardener, but she's got a group of people that are coming there and practicing permaculture. And so she took me on a tour of her kitchen garden, And she does the lasagna gardening, which I'm not very knowledgeable about, but you...
There are different layers.
Yes, you put down like a layer of cardboard, and then you put down, you alternate browns and greens. So you could put grass clippings, or you can use vegetables, your kitchen waste or that kind of thing, and dead leaves or whatever your browns and greens are. I think the caution with that is you get out of it, in terms of nutrients, you get out of it what you put into it. So just to kind of keep that in mind. But then it can just sit there and sort of cook down. You want to get like 24 inches, which is a lot of material. But if you're like me and you're thinking in terms of containers, and I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe my next step is a 4x4 container garden. Maybe what I'm going to do is just some lasagna right into that container, let that cook down over the winter, and then and try planting in that. So that's about as much.
Yeah,
as
I know some people do swear by that. I'm not familiar with it really either, but yeah. Have heard about it and have heard people have had a lot of success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of my good friends is very interested in it, and got a book on it through interlibrary loan at the library. So I recommend that if our public library might even get one to keep in their collection, but you can definitely get it through the library.
Okay. We're pretty much out of time. Is there anything else that you wanted to add?
No. Again, I just want to encourage people to keep trying things and talk to local gardeners and ask for help.
Okay. Thank you very much. Latha Johnson with more info on container gardenings as well as growing microgreens. And I thank her and all the other gardeners who have been helping out during our call-in shows. We will be continuing call-in shows and do have some more gardening shows lined up, like planting your fall bulbs, getting them how you plant them, and also we'll be having some discussions about getting your garden ready for winter as well. So again, those shows coming up later on next month, but right now we're going to head over a little announcement and then Writer's Almanac.